titled Kill the Spider. Carlos Whitaker is a People's Choice Award winner and currently spends the majority of his time writing books and speaking on stages around the world. Carlos has spoken at the White House for the Easter prayer breakfast and is regularly teaching at churches and conferences worldwide. Please give a big, no regrets welcome to Carlos Whitaker.
Awesome. Good morning, men. Good morning. How about that word that Albert gave us this morning? Man, I'm sorry, Albert. I was live streaming that to my wife the whole time. I know this wasn't a women's conference, but she needed to hear that word too. That was amazing. Andy, thanks so much for the introduction. Hey, give it up for Andy. I mean, that guy, I would like to correct one thing, Andy, though. Poor Andy. He didn't get my name right. It's not Carlos. It's actually Carlos. Now, listen, I know I'm near Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but I know that there's some men in this room that can pronounce my name correctly, right? Could you please make me feel a little bit more at home? I was born in East L.A. in Pico Rivera, and my dad was the pastor of Primera Iglesia Bautista de Pico Rivera, First Bilingual Baptist Church. And so could you just make me feel a little bit more at home and give me a good morning, Carlos? That was bad. But that's okay. The purpose of this morning, again, the purpose of today isn't to know how to roll your R's. It is to do. I love what Albert said. This isn't a pep rally. It's a funeral, amen? Because we are here to die to ourselves. And it's what we're going to be talking about for just a few minutes. If you would give me the next, just few minutes of your time and apply some of these principles, I promise you that what I'm going to ask you to do today could literally, not in a month, not in a year, not in a week, but today could possibly be the day that chains are broken and you can walk out of here completely free. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in this room right now, right here. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, this is what I ask for. I ask specifically right now that you remove every single distraction from my mind and every mind of every man across this country that is watching this right now. Father God, will you allow you to renew our minds? And will you please, Holy Spirit, show up in a way that transforms every facet of not just our personal lives, but our business lives, our home lives, our family lives, every single facet of who we are, we want to be completely transformed. For it is by the blood of the cross and the power of the resurrection that every man said, amen. 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 Okay, so I do want to welcome a couple host sites. We've got a couple host sites that are, I think I've got them right here. What's cool about this conference is, you know, this is all around the world. So, men, could you give it up for Grace Fellowship Church in Kingsport, Tennessee? Give it up for these guys. Yes. We've got Central Baptist Church in Crossville, Tennessee. We got Cedar Lake Christian Academy in Biloxi, Mississippi. Colonial Baptist Church in Cary, North Carolina. I'm so grateful that there's men across this country. Today is a day that could spark revival across this country. And I believe it can happen through the men that are here. You know, a lot of us have come in here in different phases and seasons of life. Some of you guys have come in here and things are really good. Things are good. Some of you are coming in here and you're limping in a little bit because times are rough. And I want to talk to those of you for just a second that maybe things are pretty good. Maybe things in your life are going fairly well. And I happened to be about 8 years ago and honestly like one of the sweetest seasons of life. I'm talking about like my business was going well, my family was going well, like everything was going incredible. It was one of those seasons where literally every single thing I touched would work out, would turn to gold. Like even the mistakes that I was making, those mistakes somehow God would be like, I know you screwed up, but I'm gonna make this thing right for you. You know those sweet seasons where everything seems to work out? And things were going so well that I actually have like video evidence of this happening in my life. Now, when I say video evidence, my family and myself were in a car in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. And we were driving to a Braves game. And on the way there, that Beyonce song, All the Single Ladies, came on. You guys know that song? I know you men know that song. And so my three kids are in the back of the car, and they're singing the Beyonce song, All the Single Ladies, All the Single Ladies. And so I've got a daughter at the time. She was 6 and a half. Another daughter was 4. And my son at the time, he was 2. And so while he's singing All the Single Ladies, I decided to be a good dad, and remind him that he, in fact, is not a single lady. Well, let me tell you, his visceral reaction inside of his ethos. He was crushed when I said, son, you got to stop singing that song. And he starts wailing, and the whole time I'm filming him because I think it's kind of cute that my daughters are singing Single Lady. Well, I happen to catch my son completely falling apart in a traumatic moment that he's going to need therapy for one day when I tell him he's not a single lady. And I think the video is so funny that I decided to upload it to a brand new website called YouTube. Well, little did I know what would happen 24 hours later, how this mistake that I made, which it really wasn't a mistake, but making my son cry, let me show you what happened and how God's favor in your life sometimes is incredible. Watch what I mean when I say mistake turned to gold. This is what happened.
The Whitaker family of Atlanta was in the car just singing along to Beyonce's hit song, Single Ladies. And then the family fun took an unexpected turn.
Si, you're not a single lady, buddy. Yes. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You're a single lady. Oh. Sorry. Sorry. Buddy, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. You can do it. Buddy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, buddy. You're a single lady, okay? Okay? Here we go. If you like it, then you got a better ring on it.
Sorry. Did that hurt your feelings? You can be a single lady if you want, okay?
I'm a horrible father.
Do you want to be a single lady?
I'm a horrible father, he says no. The video has gone viral, become a YouTube sensation, and joining
7.9 million views overnight. Now, a show of hands all across this country. How many of you men have made your kids cry before an accident? Go ahead, be honest, y'all. That's all of us. So I suddenly wake up the next morning to news reports all over the world, not just in America, of this father that made his son cry by telling him he's not a single lady. And we were on all the shows. We were on Good Morning America. The next morning, we were on the Today Show. We were on the Ellen Show. We were on Wolf Freaking Blitzer asked me to be on his show. Was there not a war to cover somewhere on the planet? We were on Fox and Friends. The BBC sent a team from London to interview me. My family, 7 months later, was flown from Atlanta to Los Angeles, got picked up in a limousine, got driven to the Staples Center, walked down a red carpet, and on national television, Queen Latifah herself handed me a Crystal People's Choice Award for Viral Video of the Year. I won a trophy for making my son cry. I'm telling you, things were good. Favor ain't fair. It was awesome. And you know, I'll tell you what, like, in these sweet seasons of life, there's a danger. There's a danger, and here's where the talk goes this way. Because the danger is, when we're in a season of abundance and blessing, the danger is we begin to believe that we, us men, are the ones responsible for that blessing in our life. And there is nothing further from the truth. Because when I go to the Bible, and the way that we read this is, I'll open up to Psalms and I'll read, every good and perfect gift comes from my hustle. But in fact, that's not what it says, right? It's not what it says. Scripture actually says, every good and perfect gift, every, not most, but every good and perfect gift comes from God. All of it. So I don't care how successful of a man you are, the giftings and the skill set that you have are given to you by God. So the danger, why I say it's a danger, is we start walking with a little bit of swagger. We start believing our own hype. Like, look at me. And I'll tell you what, things were going so well in my life, I'll never forget the day. Can I stand on this? Okay, it's not going to fall. That would have been bad. It just creaked when I stepped down here. I was believing my own hype, and I was standing in the abundance and the goodness of God, and I was in his light, and I remember looking over at darkness and going, well, I wonder if I can have some of that too. Because you see, when we become God ourselves, we believe we can have it all. And I'll never forget looking for weeks over at Darkness going, man, things are going so good. I wonder if I can have some of that. And I'll never forget, man, the day that I stuck my toe over into Darkness for just a second. Then I hopped back over into Light and I was like, woo, well, that was fun. Because don't let anybody lie. Don't let any preacher lie to you and tell you that sin isn't fun. In the flesh, it is. And I dipped my toe over into sin. And I remember going, I didn't get caught. And look, everything's still great. My ministry's still going. Everything's still going incredible. I wonder if I can do that again. And I'm standing in Light. And then the next day, I stood in Darkness for just like an hour. And then I ran back over to Light. And I was like, hey, look at that. I did it again. That's awesome. And can I tell you, you know where the story goes. You start messing with Darkness. Next thing you know, you find yourself dancing between Light and Dark. And I'll never forget, I suddenly had a secret life. Still living in God's abundance and His glory and His goodness. But I'm dancing between Light and Dark. Until the day that I stopped dancing. And I found myself drowning. And the day that I drowned, we'd recently moved to Nashville, Tennessee. And I'll never forget, I was in a condo. My wife was cooking dinner up front in the kitchen. I was in the back with my kids. They were this age. It was only a few months after this video had gone viral. And we're playing in the back, and I remember smelling dinner, and it smelled amazing. And I walked to the front, and I said, hey, babe, what's for dinner? It smells awesome. And she didn't answer me, which is weird. We lived in a tiny condo. I passed all the rooms. She wasn't there, and she wasn't in the kitchen, but the stove was still on with the food on the stove. And immediately my heart began to pound. Because all of us men know that when you have a secret sin, you're always worried about being discovered. And my heart started to pound, and I sprinted back to the living room. I was like, hey, babe. And then I sprinted out to the driveway, and I saw the minivan was gone. And I sprinted back into the house, and I saw my laptop was gone. And in a moment, I realized that I was no longer dancing between Light and Dark. I was drowning in the Darkness. And I ran back to my kids and I grabbed them and I put them on the sofa. And I'm scared to death in this moment. I don't know what's about to happen, but I tried to give them some speech that Daddy's made a big mistake. Please forgive me. And I promise I'm going to fix things. I don't know what's about to happen. And they were so confused and they're looking at me crying. And before I could finish my speech, there was a knock on the front door. And it was my best friend, Blake Bergstrom, and his wife, Allie. And Blake looked at me with pity in his eyes. And he said, Heather knows everything, all your secrets. She wants the kids, and she wants you out. And so began the darkest season of my life. I moved out of my home. I moved in with my friend Blake and his family. And I'll honestly, I can tell you guys, I was so angry at God. Now, you may be asking yourself, "What? You're the one that did it." But let's be honest, for every man in here that has a sin issue in your life, which is 100% of you, it's not that you want to sin. It's not that you're like it wanting to destroy your lives. I didn't want to destroy my family. And I was begging God all during the sinful season. Here I was leading worship in front of thousands of people on Sundays, but having a completely separate life on Fridays. And I would beg God, God, please make this stop. Make this go away. I prayed the most desperate prayers, and He didn't come through. And I was so angry. I said, God, I've lost everything to sin. And I'll never forget, in one of the darkest nights, I got a text message from a friend. And the text message was, it was just a scripture. And the scripture was this. 1 Peter 5:10. It says, now the God of all grace, watch this, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally, here we go, restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. Now those are four incredible promises. And that would be the greatest scripture in the Bible if there would be a period after the word support you. Right? It's like, sweet, what a great, great scripture. But unfortunately, the scripture goes on. It says, after you have what? What's the word? Suffered. Oh, So you're telling me, God, that there's going to be suffering in life as well. Yeah, you all know. There will be suffering. But also, there's not a period after the word suffered. There's two more words. What are they? A little. Now, let me tell you, when I got this scripture, it actually felt like it was mocking me. Because I'm like, God, my suffering doesn't feel like a little. At this point, it had been 3 months since I'd even spoken to my wife. Divorce papers are signed. My suffering didn't feel like a little. I've lost everything. But I'll never forget God saying, no, I promise you, if you gaze at me and glance at life, instead of gazing at life and glancing at me, your suffering will shrink. And so I began to do it. I said, all right, I'm going to give it one more shot. So I began to gaze at God and glance at life instead of the other way around. And things began to shift. Now, there's consequences to sin. I lost a lot of things because of this sin in my life. But the truth of this scripture is that God will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. It's not saying that he will bring everything back that you've lost because of your sin, but he will bring beauty from ashes. And so I began to see my life begin to change, and the restoration to my soul began to happen. And my friends began to notice a few months later, Carlos, things are different with you. You're actually living like Christ now. And I knew I'd lost everything, my job, my career, my family, but I knew that I was going to gain something new. So I began to chase after Jesus, and things began to shift, and things began to shift. And then I'll never forget, 9 months after my wife and I separated, we maybe had two conversations that I got a text message on my phone. It buzzed, and it just said, Heather. I picked it up, freaking out, and it said, coffee? Question mark. And I said, yes, exclamation point. And we met for coffee, and this is what she said. She looked at me, and she said, is everything I hear about you true? And I said, I know you're not going to believe a word I say, but you can watch. And she began to watch from a distance, and then from this distance, and then from this distance, and then from this distance. And can I tell you, friends, the God of all who called me to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus personally restored, established, strengthened, and supported my marriage. And that family I lost, they're waiting for me right now in Nashville, Tennessee, because he will bring beauty from ashes. He will. I actually have a picture. I think we've got a picture of my family I can put up here. I mean, here we are now. There's my beautiful wife, Heather, my daughter, Sohaila, Sayana, and my son, Losaya. I couldn't make a son, so I went and got one. We adopted my son, Losaya. He's been the greatest joy in my life. And so here's the thing, though. You can look at a picture like this and think, wow, like, okay, so I'm just going to pray a prayer, and God's going to give me everything back. No, that's not how it works. You see, the thing is God didn't even have to give me my family back in order for me to be restored. God doesn't have to give you what you lost back in order for restoration to happen. Now, that is what happened with me, and it wasn't overnight. It took a lot of work. It took years of therapy. There's still, 9 years later, repercussions of my sin, trust issues that are happening because of that. But through a lot of therapy, a lot of inner healing, a lot of work, things began to get better. And I'll never forget, my wife and I, now let's kind of fast forward like 3 years post-trauma. We're back together. We've been in therapy for 3 years. I'm thinking, kind of starting to walk with a little bit of swagger again. Look, I got things back. Things are good. And my therapist, Al, looking at me going like, hey, you guys are done with therapy, but Carlos, you need to stick around a little bit longer. So I'm continuing to go to therapy with Al, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, Al, I've been with you now for 3.5 years. Every single week, you take all my money. Please, can you tell me when I'm going to be fixed? Like, I'm done. And Al goes, oh, okay, let me tell you something, Carlos. You're almost done, but this is what you need to do. We have to figure out why you keep rubbing crap on your blessings. That's what he told me. My Christian therapist told me that. And I said, excuse me? Now, I just need you to imagine the one guy you know named Al, and that's exactly what my therapist looked like, right? You got that in your head? So he tells me this, and I'm like, Al, what do you mean? He's like, look, the entire timeline of your life, every time God blesses you with something, you find a way to screw it up. And if you don't figure out why, you're going to do it again. And that scared me to death, because he was right. So I left his office that day, and I got in my minivan, and I called my dad. And my dad, he's the wisest man I've ever met. Fermin Agustin Whitaker, a first-generation immigrant from Colon, Panama. He immigrated to the United States in 1952 with $20 cash and a shoeshine kit. My dad shined shoes at LAX for 2 years, made enough money for one semester at LA Community College, got straight A's, got a scholarship to the next semester at LA Community College, got straight A's, got a scholarship to UCLA. My dad is now Dr. Fermin Agustin Whitaker. Yeah, you can give him a round of applause. That's fine. I mean, that's the American dream, right? And I called my dad, and I'm like, Dad, Al told me that I rub crap on my blessings, and I need you to tell me why. Now, I need you to see a picture of my dad's, okay? That we got a picture of my dad. I called my dad. Look at him living his best immigrant life in his timeshare in Hawaii. He goes, Carlitos, let me tell you a story. I was like, oh, Dad, I don't have time for your stories. Now, I know half of you guys are thinking, I've seen that man somewhere before. And you're actually right, because it's actually also a picture of my dad. My dad is, drum roll, please, we can get the next picture up here of him. Here we go. There, he's. The first time I saw that, I was like, Daddy! Just a joke at my dad's expense, because we've been talking deep. But listen, this is what my dad said. Carlitos, let me tell you a story. I said, okay, Dad. He goes, when I was preaching, my dad's a pastor. When I was preaching my very first revival in Panama, I was 18 years old. And I gave the invitation. And nobody came to the front. But one very old lady in the back of the church, Miss Ramirez, she slowly makes her way to the front of the church. And she gets to the front and she's crying. And she says, Pastor, can you please pray for me? My dad said, of course I'll pray for you. How can I pray? Can you please pray that God would clean the cobwebs from my life? My dad said, oh, that's a very poetic way to pray. So we prayed that, Lord, clean the cobwebs from Miss Ramirez's life. He says, Carlitos, night numero dos. Ms. Ramirez, she comes to the front again, and she's still crying. And she goes, Pastor, can you pray again that God would clean the cobwebs from my life? And pray harder. So my dad said, it doesn't work like that, but that's fine. So he prayed with a little bit more salt and pepper on his prayer and praised, Lord, clean the cobwebs from Ms. Ramirez's life. He says, Carlitos, night numero tres of the revival, Ms. Ramirez comes to the front of the church again. She's still crying. And she looks at me and says, Pastor, one more time. Can you pray that God would clean the cobwebs from my life? And my dad said, he looked at her and said, no. We have been praying the wrong prayer. Tonight, we are not going to pray that he cleans the cobwebs. Tonight, we must pray he kills the spider. The sound that you men just made, was the exact sound that I made. Because I knew in that moment why my dad told me that story. He says, Carlitos, you're a professional cobweb cleaner. You cannot continue to go to your friend Al's house and continue to clean the cobwebs. You must find the root and kill the spider. And friend, here's the deal. I kept going to therapy, and the beautiful thing about therapy is I identified my spider, I located my spider, I cornered my spider, and I even killed my spider. But let me tell you, as much as I believe in therapy, and I'm a big believer in therapy, you can't kill your spider in a therapist's office. The only way you can kill your spider is with the blood of the cross and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life. It's the only way. And we live in such a life hack culture, right? We want to go to Barnes & Noble's and pick up a book on like how to fix these bad habits in our lives. And at the time, I didn't have a definition, but I ended up writing a book called Kill the Spider, helping people find these spiders and eradicate them in our lives. And so let's put, for really, really quick, just a few more minutes, a definition, because I believe, I know every single man watching this and in this room right now has spiders, not just one, many spiders in our lives. So let's define it. A spider is an agreement you have made with a lie. Let me say this again. A spider is an agreement you've made with a lie. Every single one of us has these. But this is hard to get to. It's hard. It's hard to find this thing. So what do we do instead? Well, we clean the cobwebs. So if a spider is an agreement you've made with a lie, what's a cobweb? Here's where we spend all of our time. A cobweb is a medicator or a behavior that brings false comfort to the lie. This is where we spend all of our time. So what are some of these cobwebs? Well, we know. Cobwebs. A big ugly one. Alcohol. Alcohol is the cobweb. It's not the spider. Let me say this again, because this is very, this is like life transforming when I figure this out. Alcohol is not the lie, it is the behavior. But most people spend all of their time just throwing away the alcohol. But you're never going to find freedom by just throwing the liquor away. That's called cleaning the what? The cobwebs. That's the meditating behavior. What does a person struggling with alcohol have to do? They have to find the agreement with the lie they believe that is causing the medication. Pornography. Seen it destroy so many people's lives. Pornography is not the spider. Yet we spend all of our time putting pornography blockers on our phones, pornography blockers on our laptops, all the things to try to like keep the spider at bay. But that's just cleaning the cobwebs. The pornography. Now, are those tools good? Sure. It's good to put porn blockers on your phone. That's fine. But if you still have an agreement with the lie in your heart, the pornography is never going to go away. You got to break that agreement. You see, I mean, let me touch everybody in here. Because those are like ugly cobwebs. What about some pretty ones? What about you workaholics? Where your cobweb is your work. That is your medicating behavior. And it's bringing false comfort to the lie. And listen, your lies can be a whole bunch of different things. For a lot of people, the workaholics, a lot of people, your lie could be, my identity is based on a nameplate by my door. Instead of my identity being placed as a son of God. Things, cobwebs, they're so easy to find. You all know what your cobwebs are, what your medicating behaviors are. The hard thing to find is the spider. So if you don't know what your cobweb is, just ask your spouse. They'll tell you, okay? It's really easy. They all know what it is. But you can't find your spider by asking your spouse. I'm sorry. The only way to find your spider is by asking God himself. Hearing from the Holy Spirit. Yes, every single one of us have available conversational intimacy with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You can and will hear from God on what the agreement is with the lie, what your spider is. Now, this is the point in this message where I'll get a lot of people going, well, man, I don't know. What do you mean hear from God? Here's another guy telling me I can hear from God. What does it even sound like? Well, let me tell you, I believe in two short steps you guys can get here. Step number one to find our spider. We hear from God when we pay attention. Everybody say, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. You see, here's the thing. God is always speaking. Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. Yet the volume of so many men's lives are so loud, that's why we can't hear God. But when you begin to pay attention and lower the volume of life, the volume of God goes up. And you're going to begin to, when you lower the volume of life, see God speaking all the time. I mean, I don't want to blame something, but let's blame something. We're so attached to content that is created for us. Listen, I just read a stat a few weeks ago that says the amount of content that a human being would consume from the dawn of time until the 1920s is the same amount of content that we consume in a single day. There's no way that our minds were created and our souls were created to consume this much. And so, no wonder we can't hear from God. But God is always speaking to us, always. My wife and I were on our way home from our anniversary trip. We were on our way home. We were in Ireland, and we decided to go there for our anniversary. So we're on our way home. And you guys know, if you've ever been overseas, like on the way over there, you're really excited to go. But on the way home, like your credit card's maxed out and you're really stressed out, right? And so you just want to get home. You're jet lagged. And we were in the Detroit County Airport. And my wife, she's like not laughing at any of my jokes anymore. And like, I know she's tired. She needs to go home. And so like, I'm like, well, what does she love? She loves Chinese food. And there's a P.F. Chang's in the Detroit County Airport. And this is right when I started to learn about hearing from God. So we go to P.F. Chang's. And I decided to tell my wife this story to make her laugh about this time I was leading worship, and my percussion player forgot his egg shaker. You guys know those egg shakers that they play? So he forgot it, so we had to run to Guitar Center really fast to pick up an egg shaker. But they were out of shakers shaped in the shape of an egg. They only had one in the shape of a banana, which was a little bit awkward, but that's fine. So we go back, and the whole time I'm leading worship, I'm looking over at my buddy, and he's just one hand in the air, the other hand, and he's shaking this banana like this. And I don't know. I thought it was funny, the banana story. So I'm telling Heather, isn't that funny? Like, he was shaking a banana. Heather's like, babe, that's not funny. I'm tired. Can we just go home? check, please. So I get the check. And at every Chinese restaurant you've ever been to, wrapped in shrink wrap on top of the check is a what? A fortune cookie, of course. So I open my fortune cookie, and there's only one word on the fortune. And I need some man to shout out what the word was. Banana! The word banana was on my fortune. And I'm standing up, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Heather's like, what's wrong? I was like, look. And I turned it around. And she sees that it says banana, and she starts dying laughing finally. She thought the Holy Spirit was funny, but not me. And I go, babe, what are the chances? That's crazy. I've opened a million fortunes in my life. It's never been the word that I was just talking about. And my wife said, hey, listen, God, we serve, please hear this, we serve a whimsical God. We serve a fun God. And if you're just looking for God in the serious, you're going to miss half of him. God is always speaking. I feel like that was just God going, psst, I'm here. Friends, I took this fortune home. I actually put it in a frame. It's next to my bed, so when I wake up every single day, I'm reminded to pay attention. Now, I got half of you. The other half of you are like, well, that's cute, Carlos, but that's actually called a coincidence, right? Let's, oh, you guys can hang out in coincidence land for another 10 seconds. Because the truth is, once you become a Christian and you believe that there was a man who was fully God that was murdered, buried, and rose again, you kind of have to stop believing in coincidences. Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time. So step one is to pay attention. Step two is to ask questions. We hear from God when we ask questions. We serve a specific God. We don't serve a vague God. And I know that you believe in a specific God. You see, most of the time our prayers are so vague, right? Like we pray, Lord, bless my family this year. Well, why do we pray so vaguely? Let me tell you why I prayed vaguely for a long time. Because I was scared if I asked God something specifically and he didn't answer me, well, what does that mean about God? And then I had a crisis of faith. But let me tell you, well, when trauma hits your life, I know that you believe in a specific God. Because our prayers go from vague to specific, right? That tumor in that part of the leg in the name of Jesus, right? Like that's how specific our prayers get. What would happen if we were to begin to pray that specifically in all areas of our life? Your minds would be blown as to how much God would speak to you. I had a friend of mine named Marcus who knows that I love to travel and teach people how to hear from God. And he texts me. He's like, dude, I've never heard from God. I've been a Christian my whole life. Like, I've never heard from him. I said, well, let's go have coffee. He said, okay. And I think that he thought I was going to teach him three steps to hear from God. And we sit down, and I go, okay, you ready? He goes, ready for what? I said, you're about to hear from God. He goes, what do you mean? I go, right now. You ready? And he was stressing out. I said, we're going to go to lunch, and I want you to ask God right now where we should go to lunch. What, you're telling me that God's going to tell me where we're supposed to go to lunch? I said, oh, absolutely. Like, we serve a specific God. He cares about all the aspects of our lives. Let's get that specific. And he didn't want to do it. Why didn't he want to do it? Well, because he was scared he wasn't going to hear. I said, bro, ask him right now. He goes, okay. So he like crossed his fingers. He goes, is it like this? I was like, just pray. He goes, he aimed his prayer up like towards the sky. He's like, dear God, where should me and Carlos go to lunch? Amen. Maybe you have to say amen for God to hear you, right? So he said that really loud, and then I just let him sit there uncomfortably for like 60 seconds. He was putting his finger in his ear. He picked up his phone I don't know if he thought God was going to text him. I mean, he was like stressed out. He's sweating. Finally, after a minute, I let him off the hook. I was like, well? He goes, I don't know, man. I go, did you hear anything? He goes, I don't know. What does God sound like? I go, did you sense something? He goes, oh, feelings? Everybody has feelings. I go, bro, this is something we do, men, all the time. We edit the Holy Spirit all the time. I said, don't edit the Holy Spirit. When you prayed, what did you sense? And he didn't want to say it because he didn't want to be wrong. But I finally pulled it out of him. I said, Marcus, what did you see? What did you sense? He said, well, I saw that Thai restaurant over in Tennessee Titans Stadium parking lot, Thai Phuket. I go, okay, that's what you, when you said amen, that's what you saw. He said, yeah. He goes, I don't know if it was God or my stomach. I said, well, let's just go. He's the same, it's the same thing. It's all the same thing, right? So we go to Thai Phuket. We go. We have an incredible lunch. But it was, I don't know, it's just normal. Jesus did not appear in the steam of our soup. Like, it was just kind of a normal lunch. Check, please. We get the check. No fortune cookie shows up on this check. Like, it's just normal. So we leave. We walk out. We'd actually forgotten that we'd asked God where to go to lunch. Marcus gets on his motorcycle. I, unfortunately, am 15 years older. I got in my minivan, right? Different stages of life. As he gets on this motorcycle, I need you to imagine the most redneck man you've ever met. Multiply it by 100. And that man came tearing out of Thai Phuket. Hey, man, you, hey, man, you. And he's shaking his finger like this. He runs up to Marcus. He goes, you're going to think I'm crazy, man. You're going to think I'm crazy. Marcus is like, yeah. This man goes, do you sometimes work on your laptop over at that coffee shop called Frothy Monkey? Marcus is like, yeah. He goes, man, you think I'm crazy, but I was in there a few weeks ago. And I was praying, and you came walking in there, and I felt like God told me to pray for you. But I was too chicken to do it, so I didn't. But then I'm just in here sipping on my soup, and you came walking in a Thai Phuket. And oh, my God, Holy Spirit was like, here he comes again. You better go chase him. So I chased you. Can I please pray for you? Marcus's eyes got this big. And I got in my minivan and left him in the parking lot with that weird man all by himself. Friends, Marcus called me 10 minutes later, his voice trembling. He said, God answered my specific question. If you don't ask, how are you going to know? God still speaks. Specific question today is, what is the agreement I've made with the lie? What is the agreement, God, I've made with the lie? He'll tell you. And here's a beautiful thing. When he tells you, killing the spider, that's easy. Finding it's hard. This is how you kill the spider. You confess the lie, you reject the lie, and you replace the lie with God's truth. This is how spiders die. Yep, it's that easy. I know. Confess the lie, reject the lie, replace the lie. You want to know the lie that caused me to lose my family? Was I felt like I'd been abandoned by God. So I confessed the lie, Lord, I confess that I believe I've been abandoned by you. And then I rejected that lie and I sent it to the foot of the cross. And then I replaced the lie with the truth from God's word. Spiders die. How do we know the spider's dead? How do we know? Romans 8:6. Watch this. This is how you know when your spiders are dead. For the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset of the spirit is life and what? Peace. The beautiful thing is when you kill your spider, you don't just get life. You get more than just life. There's not a period after the word life. It says life and peace. What's another one? John 10:10. For a thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the half. Well, that's not what it says. It says in abundance to the full. That's how you're going to know. You get life, and you get more. Friends, there's one perfect picture, I think, that can show you exactly what it's going to look like when you kill your spider. And we'll end with this. My family and myself, we were camping in the High Sierras a few years ago. And the kids had gone to bed already, and my wife and I were by the campfire. And it was pretty romantic. There's like, I don't know, millions of stars in the sky. And so my wife leans over and she's like, hey, babe, like to remember this moment, can you go get the camera and take a picture of the abundance of stars in the sky? I said, well, yeah, I think so. So I went and I grabbed her camera. Now, she has one of those fancy cameras with the buttons and the dials and the knobs, right? Like, man, I don't know how to use that thing. So when you don't know how to use a fancy camera, what mode do you automatically put it on? Well, auto mode, right? So I put it on auto mode. I grabbed that camera and I aimed that puppy at the sky. And I took a picture of the 19 million stars in the sky. And in auto mode, let me show you guys the picture that I got. So I walked over to my wife. And I said, hey, babe, how's this? And she goes, She says, you know how expensive that camera was? I know that that camera can take a picture of the stars. I said, yeah, babe, but I don't know how to use it, so I just put it on auto mode. But literally, I mean, there's 9 stars in that picture. There were 19 million stars in the sky. She said, well, don't you have a friend that knows how? So now, like, the romantic moment is completely ruined, and I'm, like, texting my photographer friends in Nashville. And so I have a friend named Jeremy, and I was like, Jeremy, bro, I tried to take a picture of the stars in the sky, and I took it, and I only got 9, but there's 9 million. He said, is the camera in auto mode? I said, well, yeah. He goes, oh, listen, you can't capture the abundance of stars in auto mode. And I'm starting to preach to some of you guys. It has to be in manual mode. I said, yeah, but Jeremy, I don't know how to use my camera in manual mode. He's like, I know, you're going to screw up. And it's not going to work. You're actually going to take a couple bad pictures. But if you do what I say, I promise you, you'll capture the abundance of stars. So he's like, first you got to take the camera, and you have to take it off auto, put it on manual, and you have to find the ISO. And I was like, it took me 15 minutes to find this ISO thing. I finally found the ISO. He's like, you have to crank it from 100 to 12,000. So I finally, I took a picture, and it was completely white. Now you really couldn't see anything. I said, it didn't work. He's like, no, you're not done. Then you have to find the f-stop. And you have to take the f-stop, and you have to crank it from 8.2 down to 1.2. So it took me another 15 minutes to find the f-stop, and I crank it from 8.2 to 1.2, and it still wasn't working. Now it was blurry. He goes, then you have to take the shutter speed, and you have to slow the shutter speed down from 1/30th of a second to 30 seconds so that the shutter stays wide open. All the light can evade the sensor. He's like, but then that's not going to be it. If you hold it at that point, it's going to be blurry. So you have to put it on a tripod. Then you have to download an app to remotely trigger the phone, your camera. I just want a freaking picture of the stars, man. Right? Why's it got to be so complicated? And I tried it, and I failed. And I tried it, and I failed. And I tried it, and I failed. Until I tried it, and an hour and a half later, I took a picture. And this was the picture that I got. Can I tell you something, man? This is life with abundance. But this doesn't happen in auto mode. You will never get this living your life in auto mode. Can we put the other picture back up if you don't mind? This, so many of you men are walking around going, look at my 9 stars, guys. How good is God? Look at my 9 stars. And God's like, hey, I don't have 9 stars for you. I've got 9 million stars for you. Can we put the other picture back up? This is what is available to every single one of you when you kill the spider. But this is going to take work. It is. It's going to take some of you guys having to risk it all to hear God for the first time. Risk it all asking God some very specific questions. But I promise you, life with abundance is real and available when you finally kill your spider. Let's pray. Lord, I believe right now that there's men all across this country that are ready to stop living with the 9 stars. And they're so ready to step into life with abundance. Jesus, can I ask you to very specifically begin to reveal agreements with lies that may have been made when these men were 5 years old, 10 years old. Lord, it may have happened last week, but we all have agreements with lies that we must break. So reveal to us today, not tomorrow, Jesus. I ask very specifically that you reveal these lies that are causing these behaviors today. And may we get rid of these things. For it is by the blood of the cross and the power of the resurrection that every single man all across this country shouted, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.